This article is brought to you by the best-selling bookseat Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. What do your physical sensations tell you about your emotional state? Your body reads your emotions before your brain catches up. In short, emotional self-awareness is not a thinking skill, it is a listening skill. And your body is the one speaking. Your physical sensations are early warning signals for emotions that your thinking brain has not named yet. Reading those signals accurately is what separates a considered response from a reaction you later regret. The gap between sensation and response is where emotional intelligence is built, one moment at a time. Definition: emotional self-awareness is the capacity to notice, in real time, what you are feeling and why, including the physical sensations that precede conscious emotion. It is the foundation of emotional intelligence, enabling you to respond deliberately rather than react automatically to what is happening around you. Your chest tightens in a meeting before you even know you're angry. Your stomach drops in a corridor conversation before you've processed that the news is bad. Your jaw sets during feedback before your mind has formed a single thought about whether the feedback is fair. That is not weakness. That is your body doing its job. Emotional self-awareness begins with understanding that your nervous system reads the room faster than your reasoning mind does, and that the physical sensations you feel in charged moments are data, not noise. I spent years ignoring those signals. I told myself I was calm when my hands were tight around a pen, that I was fine when my breathing had gone shallow, that I was listening when I was already composing my reply. I was none of those things. And the conversations I handled worst were always the ones where I had stopped paying attention to what was happening inside me. Learning to read your own body is the first, most practical act of emotional self-awareness, and in my experience, it is the one most people have never actually been taught. What emotional self-awareness actually means in practice. The textbook version says emotional self-awareness is knowing what you feel. That is true, but it is incomplete. In practice, it means knowing what you feel before you act on it. There is a gap between stimulus and response. Something happened, a sharp comment in a meeting, a delayed email, a decision made without you. Your nervous system registers it immediately. Your body responds within seconds. Your conscious mind arrives later, often after your face has already shown the reaction and your voice has already changed. Emotional self-awareness is the practice of catching what is happening in that gap. Not analyzing it, not judging it, just noticing it with enough clarity to choose what comes next. Here is a simple example. A colleague challenges your idea in front of the team. You feel heat rise to your face. Your breathing shortens. Your shoulders pull back slightly. Those sensations arrive before the thought "I am embarrassed" and defensive fully forms. Emotional self-awareness means you register those physical signals and name them, quietly and quickly, before you open your mouth. That naming creates a fraction of a second of choice. And that fraction is everything. The signals your body has been sending you. Your body communicates emotional states through a predictable set of physical responses. Learning your personal pattern is the real work of building emotional self-awareness. Common physical signals include muscle tension in the shoulders, jaw, or hand signals defensiveness or suppressed frustration. A tightening in the chest or a held breath often accompanies anxiety or anticipated conflict. Heat in the face or neck is frequently the physical signature of embarrassment or rising anger. A hollow, dropping sensation in the stomach can signal fear, disappointment, or a threat to something you value. Restlessness, fidgeting, or difficulty sitting still often accompanies excitement, urgency, or agitation. Nobody's pattern is identical. Some people carry stress in their neck, others in their gut. The specific location matters less than the habit of noticing it. If you want to understand your own emotional self-awareness, start with a simple question at the end of any difficult conversation: where did I feel that in my body? This practice connects directly to what happens physiologically during high-pressure moments. If you have read about the amygdala hijack and how it escalates workplace tension, you will recognize these sensations as the early physical signs of that response. By the time your amygdala has fully activated, your body has already been sending signals for several seconds. Emotional self-awareness is what lets you catch the signal before the hijack completes. Three beliefs that get in the way. Belief 1. Awareness means analysis. Many people think that being emotionally self-aware means being able to explain why they feel what they feel. That is reflection, which is useful, but it is not the same thing. In the moment, emotional self-awareness is simpler and more physical. What sensation am I noticing right now? And what is it telling me? Analysis can come later. First, you need to notice. Belief 2. Strong emotions mean lost awareness. Some people assume that once an emotion is intense, awareness has already failed. In fact, you can feel something powerfully and remain self-aware throughout. The goal is not to reduce the emotion. It is to know you are having it. You can be genuinely angry and still aware that you are angry. That awareness is what keeps the anger from running the conversation without your permission. Belief 3. Talking about feelings is self-awareness. I have met people who are eloquent about emotions in the abstract and completely blind to what they are feeling in a given moment. The ability to discuss emotional intelligence in a meeting does not mean you noticed that your voice tightened 30 seconds ago. Real self-awareness is present tense and physical. It lives in your body during the conversation, not in your words after it. What changes when you actually pay attention? Think about a manager I worked with. A capable woman in her 40s who ran a busy project team. She told me she was a calm person. Her team told me something different. They said she went cold and clipped when her ideas were pushed back on, and that this coldness could last for the rest of the meeting. When I asked her what she felt physically in those moments, she paused for a long time. She said nothing. She genuinely believed she felt nothing. But when we walked through specific situations, she described a pressure behind her sternum, a pulling in of breath, a particular stillness in her hands. She had those sensations every time. She had just never named them as information. Once she started naming them, even silently, everything changed. She could feel the pressure in her chest and think that is what happens when I feel dismissed. She could take a breath, stay in the conversation, and ask a question instead of withdrawing. Her team noticed within weeks. Nothing changed about the pressure she was under. Everything changed about how she met it. This is where staying grounded during a tense workplace conversation becomes possible. Without the self-awareness to catch those physical signals, there's nothing to ground yourself to. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Emotional self-awareness across different situations. The skill looks different depending on context, but the mechanism is the same. In a feedback conversation, a tightness in the throat or a sudden shift in posture can signal that your defensiveness is rising before you've consciously decided to defend yourself. That signal, caught early, gives you the space to stay open rather than close down. This is precisely why the core framework helps when feedback triggers a defensive reaction. It only works if you have already noticed the defensive response beginning in your body. In a team meeting, a restlessness or tightening in the room, sensed through your own physical response, can tell you that something is unresolved even when nobody has said so. Your body registers the group's tension through your own nervous system. That is valuable information for anyone leading a team. One-on-one, a subtle drop in your energy during a conversation can signal that something is wrong in the relationship, that something has been left unsaid, that the connection is thinner than it should be. Your body reads relational cues that your analytical mind can easily dismiss. When a team's amygdala hijack problem is already affecting group dynamics, the people with strong emotional self-awareness are the first to notice the early signs, precisely because they trust these bodily signals. There is a real connection here to confidence too. The people who handle tension most steadily are often those who know their own reactions well enough not to be ambushed by them. The confidence competence loop explains some of this. The more accurately you can read your own internal state, the more confident you become in high-pressure moments, because you're not fighting the unknown. Self-awareness also sharpens your ability to give and receive feedback with less distortion. When you understand what physical sensations signal in yourself, you become better at reading others too. That directness and clarity about your own state is part of what makes some people give consistently better feedback. And before any high-stakes team discussion, a moment of checking your own state is the most honest form of preparation you can do. It is the internal version of what a conversation pre-mortem does for the external situation. And finally, using the core framework to stay grounded in any tense moment relies on the same foundation, knowing where you are before you try to navigate. Start here, not in a journal. Some people are told to build emotional self-awareness through journaling, meditation, or long reflection exercises. Those things have value. But if you want to start right now, today, with the next difficult conversation you have, the tool is simpler. Pick one physical sensation you already know you experience under pressure. Maybe it is the tightening in your jaw. Maybe it is a shortness of breath. Whatever it is, make it your signal. When you feel it in a conversation, pause for a single breath. Name the emotion silently. I am feeling defensive. I am anxious. I am frustrated. One word is enough. That pause, that naming, is emotional self-awareness in practice. Not in theory. Not in a journal entry after the fact. In the moment, while it matters. This much I know for certain: the people who earn real respect in difficult conversations are not the ones who feel the least. They are the ones who notice the most. Emotional self-awareness is the foundation you build everything else on, and your body has been trying to give you that foundation all along. You only have to learn to listen. Frequently asked questions. What is emotional self-awareness? Emotional self-awareness is the ability to notice and name what you are feeling in real time, including the physical sensations that signal an emotion before your conscious mind catches up. It is the foundation of emotional intelligence and the first step toward choosing your response rather than reacting automatically. How do physical sensations relate to emotional self-awareness? Your body registers emotional responses to muscle tension, breathing changes, heat, and heart rate before your thinking brain processes what is happening. Learning to read those physical signals is the most reliable entry point into emotional self-awareness, because the body does not lie or rationalize the way the mind does. How do you build emotional self-awareness in daily life? You build emotional self-awareness by regularly pausing to notice what is happening in your body during moments of stress or strong feeling. Name the sensation specifically, connect it to the emotion it signals, and practice doing this before you speak or act. Small, consistent pauses build the habit over time. Why do people lack emotional self-awareness? Most people were never taught to read their own internal signals. The pace of work and conversation leaves no space for noticing, and many people confuse thinking about their feelings with actually feeling them. Emotional self-awareness requires a moment of inward attention that daily life rarely encourages. Can you improve emotional self-awareness at work? You can absolutely improve emotional self-awareness at work. Start by learning your personal warning signals, the physical signs that tell you stress or defensiveness is rising. When you feel them, name the emotion silently before responding. This small habit changes the quality of every difficult conversation you have. What is the difference between self-awareness and self-consciousness? Self-awareness means noticing your internal state clearly so you can act with intention. Self-consciousness means worrying about how others perceive you, which pulls attention outward. Emotional self-awareness directs attention inward, toward your own signals, so it actually reduces self-conscious overthinking by grounding you in what is real. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.